And you all know that the world's supposed to end this week, right? This next week? You didn't hear that? All kinds of talk about it. The blood moon is coming. And John Hagee wrote a book 2 years ago and said things are about ready to come to a crash here. And, of course, it's spoken of in Acts, you know. The moon's going to turn to blood, so the world's supposed to come to an end. And I hope you're ready. So John Hagee wrote his book 2 years ago, and he's got people all worked up. And he's saying that if this isn't the end, it's the beginning of the end. It's a sign, and he's got certain Christians that are pretty concerned right now. And he doesn't have just Christians concerned, but there are Mormons that are concerned. Christianity Today published this month how some Mormons are starting to gather up the goods and having water and food because they're expecting something to take place. Some Jews are even waiting. Here's a website called Pray for Zion, and they think that because of this blood moon and the Feast of the Tabernacles and everything, or Feast of the Booths, and so they're all concerned. And so we've had date setters all along. And let me just share this with you. If John Hagee is correct, and if these others are correct, it wasn't because they figured it out. It's just that they were lucky. But we've had date setters all along. William Miller, 1844. Hal Lindsey, late great Planet Earth, said 98. Edgar Wisenet, remember this little book? 88 Reasons Why Jesus Will Come in 88. Sold 4.5 million of those. I bet you he went to the bank smiling. Harold Camping was one of the last ones. Said he would come in 2011. And just doing some checking this week, one website said there have been over 200 date setters. So what does that do? What happens when we set dates? Well, you know exactly what happens. We get egg on our face. That's what happens. So what should be our response to all of this? There should be. You may have gotten caught up into some of this stuff. And we, when I say we, the Christian body, we have egg on our face from all of this. And there should be a response to all of this. The first response is brokenness from us. Shame on us. The Bible makes it clear that no one knows the day nor the hour. So shame on us for doing this. Every time we do that, we just give the enemy something more to laugh at and to scoff at, and we'll talk about that as we get into the text. Our second response should be alertness. He is coming. He is coming. And we need to be alert and ready for that. And that brings us to the third point. We should be ready. And when I say we should be ready, the Scripture makes it clear that anyone who has this hope, and even though we would say we have this hope, we really don't believe it. Because the Scripture says, whoever has this hope, whoever understands that Jesus Christ is coming and he could come, their life will prove it because they will be purifying themselves knowing that he could come at this very breath. And most of us aren't ready for that, to face the Creator of the universe. It's appointed unto man, wants to die, and then judgment. You say, well, I know the Lord is my Savior. Yeah, the condemnation has been removed. You're his child. But we also have to give an account for our life, for what I did last hour, what I did last night, what I did yesterday, and the last week, and the last several years. He knows whether or not I'm really I want you to take your Bibles and go with me, if you will, to 2 Peter. We've been working our way through 2 Peter, and Peter is going to be talking about this subject. And I have to admit that second hymn that we sang, I don't know if I've ever sung that before. Was that new for most of you? Most of you? If you were like me, It had 14 verses. About halfway through, I was saying, this would be okay now, Lord, anytime. But 2 Peter is one of those books that reminds us of the importance of this very subject. Dan Collis and Jerry Dunham and I were at a conference this past week, a conference to help us as churches and pastors to be ready with what may be coming our way in regards to the Supreme Court rulings and the possible lawsuits and persecution that may be coming our way. And there was an individual that asked the question, and he stood up and he said to the ones that were presenting the conference, said, how do I, as a pastor, give me some advice, how do I go back and prepare my congregation for the possible persecution that may be coming our way? And the response surprised me. He said, what we need to understand is what we've been experiencing is not the norm for Christianity. The freedoms and the liberties that we have been enjoying, the United States of America, that's not the norm. Christians, down through the ages, ever since the very beginning, have been suffering and persecuted and dying for the faith. And so what we've been enjoying is not the norm. So it shouldn't surprise us if it happens. But he said, go home and preach 1 Peter. And I thought, did that one. So we've worked our way into 2 Peter, and we come to chapter 3, and Peter is saying the reason that he hasn't come is possibly because of you. Maybe because of you. We want to look at that this morning. So 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, Peter says, this is now the second letter I am writing to you, beloved. In both of them, I am stirring up your sincere mind by way of reminder that you should remember. Got this? You should remember the predictions of the holy prophets and the commandments of the Lord and Savior through your apostles. Peter is saying, I want you to understand something. I'm writing this book because we quickly forget. But he said, the reason that I wrote both of these books is to remind you and to keep this right first force in your mind that you don't let it go. But there has been predictions from the old prophets. We had the Lord. We got the apostles. And they all promised. There's an end to this world coming. There's an end. And in the same way that the prophecies predicted that one day a Messiah would be born of a virgin, born in a town of Bethlehem, and this child would grow up and go to the cross of Calvary and die for sins, every one of those prophecies came true, and there are prophecies saying he is coming again. And so Peter said, I'm writing this to you. Don't forget what the prophets said. Don't forget what our Lord taught. Paul in 1 Thessalonians 4 and in chapter 5 reminds us, and he says, but I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord shall come as a thief in the night. And so the first thing that we see in this great chapter is just the very fact that one day he is coming back. Will it be at the blood moon on the 28th? I don't know. But if he did, or if I just walked out of this building and got run over by somebody in a hurry to get out of here, that guy preached too long, would I really be ready? Second thing I want us to see, Peter goes on, he says in verse 3, knowing this first off, I'm writing so you don't forget, but there's one thing you need to understand, this is first and foremost. He says in verse 3, knowing this first of all, that scoffers will come in the last days with scoffing, following their own sinful desires. They will say, where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things continuing as they were from the beginning of creation. For they deliberately overlook this fact, that the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of the water and through water by the word of God, and that by means of these the world that then existed was deluged with water and perished. But by the same word, the heavens and earth that now exist are stored up for fire, being kept until the day of judgment and destruction for the ungodly. Peter says, first and foremost, there's going to be scoffers that are going to come along. And they'll laugh and they'll ridicule. But notice he says they will be following what? Their own sinful desires. Where do we live today? We live in a culture that follows nothing more than the flesh. And Peter is saying one day he is coming back. But before that, you can be sure there will be scoffers and mockers. And they're going to say, yeah, well, tell me about this Jesus. You know, Hal Lindsey set the date and his great late planet Earth, he didn't come. Harold Camping was wrong. You got egg on your face. So just understand, we're going to live at a time when people are going to get very at ease. They're going to forget. And people are interested in prophecy. Not just Christians, but, I mean, can you imagine 4.5 million? John Hagee's book was a bestseller in New York Times for I don't know how long. And even those that are interested in it, they will not look at the scriptures and understand that the scripture is 100% true. It's the only book that's predictions all come true. But they do. But a sign that God gave us was the sign of Noah, a preacher of righteousness, and we were told that as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be. Now, what was the atmosphere of the days of Noah? Well, Jesus made it very clear. They were eating, drinking, and marrying, and giving in marriage. What does that tell you? Life was normal. There was nothing out of the ordinary. People were just living their lives as if they were going to live forever without a care in the world, and they were just eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage and having a grand old time, and the first drop fell. It was too late. It was too late. And I believe that's the way the second coming of Christ is going to come. The majority of the population of the world will be eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, going on with life as if they were going to live forever without a care in the world. And all of a sudden, it's over with. It's over with. The third thing that we see here, not only is Peter reminded us that we can't forget what the prophet said. We can't forget what those scriptures have made clear. Not only are there going to be scoffers and they're going to be following their own sinful pleasures and that, but he is coming. And I read verse 7 already that reminded us that this next word, this world is saved up for fire that's going to destroy it. Verse 8. But do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient. And then he gets personal. But is patient toward you, not willing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. Is it possible? I mean, do you read that? Peter is saying, don't you forget, he is coming. It is sure. The prophets said it. Scoffers will come, but it's in concrete. God made the promise. It is a fact. It's going to take place. And yes, everybody else is going to be eating, drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage. But are you ready? Because God, he's not slack. The only reason he hasn't come is because there are individuals yet that need to come to know the Lord. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Maybe you walked through those doors this morning and you don't know the Lord. And the very fact that he is coming, this world's going to end one day. Don't know when, but it is. And we all need to be ready. But the only reason he hasn't come is because he's still waiting for certain individuals to come to know Christ as Savior. And maybe that's you this morning. Maybe you walk through those doors, and maybe you're the reason he hasn't come. Because he loves you. He sent his son to die on the cross for you. And the only way that you can spend eternity with him, and the only way that you can hope to be forgiven of your sins, is to recognize that Jesus Christ is your only hope. You can't earn God's favor. You can't buy God's favor. You'll never be good enough to ever deserve heaven. In fact, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me." God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But then it goes on to say, he that hath the Son has life, and he that does not have the Son doesn't have life. So maybe the reason he hasn't come yet is because of you. He's waiting for you. And so if you walk through those doors this morning and you don't know Christ, I want to encourage you that today is the day to do that. You are a sinner. We've all sinned. Every one of us. It takes just one sin to keep us out. The wages of sin is death. It's eternal separation from God. But the gift of God is eternal life. And so it's up to us. So Peter just reminds us that he's not slack. One day is 1,000 years. 1,000 years is a day. But he's waiting for all to come in repentance. So maybe he's waiting just for you. So Peter goes on reminding us of this. In verse 10, he says, But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. And then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done in it will be exposed. He's coming. So the question is, are you ready? That's my question to you this morning. You know, Brenda and I were never brought up in a church. Got married in a church. They knew we were both unsaved. I went to work for the county, and there I worked with a religious fanatic, and I knew he was a religious fanatic, and I've told this story, and I said, if he ever tries preaching at me, I'll tell him exactly where he can put that Bible. But he became a friend, and through that friendship, he said one day, would you and your wife be interested in watching a film that talks maybe what the Bible's going to say about the last days, the world coming to an end? And my ears perked up. Everybody wants to know that, don't they? Whether they're believers or unbelievers, there's this thing about us. We just kind of know that doom is coming. And so newspapers make all kinds of money. Television newscast make all kinds of money. They like the doom. We just know that something bad's going to happen. And yet, so often we don't do anything. Now, folks, I don't have any confidence in John Hagee's book. I don't. And the blood moon and the timing and all of that, I have no hopes for that. At least the predictions. I have no idea when Christ is going to come back. When I got saved in 76, 78, Jack Van Impe had me sitting on the edge of my seat. I just knew he was going to come. Over 30 years have gone by. And Jack Van Impe and a lot of others have egg on their face. And some of us can kind of get in the mode like, well, he's coming. And all Peter is saying is, you know, one day the prophets predicted it. The Lord even mentioned it. If I go away, I shall return. And the thing is, every one of us has a choice to make. We will spend eternity somewhere. Somewhere we will spend eternity. We either spend it with him or without him. And Peter said the only reason he hasn't come is because of his patience. The only reason any of us are alive is because of his patience. But it's possible that there's someone in this building today that he's waiting for. And all he asks is you make the move. Would you bow with me in a word of prayer? With all heads bowed and all eyes closed, in the silence of sitting there, are you really ready? I mean, if this was the end, or if God just took you home today, are you ready? Would you spend eternity with him? God's not willing that any should perish. It's not his desire that people spend eternity in damnation. He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He cares about you. And he would like you to be his child. And if you're not sure, then right where you're seated right now, just say, God, I want to be your child. I want to be forgiven. I know my life has been a mess. I know I have failed you and sinned against you. I know I deserve to spend eternity separated from you, but you made it way. You made a way. You made it possible. And I want to be forgiven. And I realize that Jesus Christ is my only hope. And I put my faith and trust in him. Father, I pray that you would be with us as a body of believers. The Bible's clear that one day this world's coming to an end. Jesus is coming back, and we need to be ready. And I would pray that there be some here that are not sure of their salvation, they're not sure if they would spend eternity with you, that this morning would be the time that they would do that. And they would just cry out to you and put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ and him alone. Father, maybe there are some here that need to talk, and I would be glad to sit down with them and share in any way that I could. I pray that you just help them to feel comfortable to approach me or someone else that we might be able to talk with them. But help us to get these things straightened out. For one day, there'll be no more days. And we'll thank you for what you accomplished, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.